You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 1871 podcast. And on this episode, we're bringing you the latest on Reading FC, which, to be honest, probably won't take that long as there doesn't seem to be too much in the way of news at the moment, but we'll give it our best shot. We'll also be discussing Reading women, and we'll be having a chat with Royals legend and 1871 podcast co-host Dylan Kerr. But first, here's a heads up on our upcoming guest this week. So tomorrow, our special guest is former Reading winger Glenn Little, and that episode is available anytime from 8:45 p.m. tomorrow. And then on Wednesday evening, our guest is former Reading goalkeeper Steve Mortone, and that episode is available anytime from 6 p.m. on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, our guest is former Reading midfielder and current Slough Town manager, Scott Davies. And that episode is available on Thursday evening, anytime from 6 p.m. And we're finishing series two of the 1871 podcast with a couple of episodes for you next week. But we'll also be putting a few of our series one episodes on our YouTube channel because we were audio only in series one. So we're going to put out the a few episodes, including the series one episodes with Graham Murty, Shaka Hislop, Stuart Lovell and Martin Allen on YouTube. And talking of the 1871 podcast, in case any of you are interested, we've been looking at our audience statistics for series two. So some very interesting viewing and listening statistics. So our audiences for a single episode have got up to more than 5,000, which curiously was for our relegation episode. No guest on that one, just me and Johnny having a chat, really. And we've had more than 5,000 viewers and listeners for that one. And our series two episodes on our new YouTube channel for series two have had 400,000 impressions. It sounds good. I don't know if, you know, if a digital marketing person can tell us if that's actually really good or not. I don't know. 400,000 impressions sounds like a lot. So that's more than 14,000 views of all of our episodes and 2,000 hours of watch time. So that's series two. And our combined total audience for our YouTube episodes and our audio version is now approximately 50,000. So thank you to everyone who's listened and watched on YouTube. And actually, a shout out for Reading fan and 1871 podcast quiz champion Chris Bennett, who is actually partly to thank for our new YouTube channel, as Chris is deaf, so he can't therefore listen to our audio version. So that's one of the reasons why we launched the YouTube channel, so Chris can watch the YouTube episodes, which also have subtitles available. And our 1871 podcast fans include my mum. And my mum has helped us grow our audience because she's told all of her neighbours. And my mum watches all of our episodes on our YouTube, on her TV on YouTube. So hello, mum.
Hello, Mark's mum.
Hello, Mum.
And the question my mum keeps asking me is who the new Reading manager is going to be. Well, the short answer, Mum, and to everyone else who's asking that question, all the Reading fans, is we don't know. We don't even really have a clue of when the announcement might be or when the new manager will start, but hopefully it will be before the end of May. And just had a quick look. Obviously, different betting sites have different favourites, etc. But the current joint favourites appear to be Chris Davies and John O'Shea, who have both played for Reading and they've both been coaches for Reading. So before we talk to Dylan, just an update as well on Reading women. So Reading women go into the final game of the season on Saturday with a slim chance of staying up after their defeat against Tottenham at the weekend. So just a word on what needs to happen for Reading to stay in the WSL. So they're currently 2 points behind Leicester with one game remaining, and they have a better goal difference than Leicester. So they need to hope Leicester lose or draw away to Brighton. But more importantly, to have any chance of staying up, they need to beat the current WSL leaders, Chelsea. And Chelsea need a win to make sure of winning the title. So, Johnny, just want to ask you, I think there's a chance that Brighton could beat Leicester or that game could be a draw, but a win for Reading against Chelsea would be a big shock, really, wouldn't it?
They've done it before, though, being positive. They did it a couple of years ago, 1-0. Yeah. Deanna Rose, I think, scored after about 4 or 5 minutes. And then, so she does that again and they stay up brilliant. You know, it's a huge challenge, but it's one game. So, like, everyone that's a Reading fan, men support the men's team, women's team, get down there and support them. Noise will be huge. They need the fans. They need everyone behind them for one last game. Like, if you're not doing anything Saturday afternoon, at least 2:30 kickoff, get there and help them out. Get the kids down there, you know, and back the girls and make some noise.
It doesn't rhyme, but...
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. I haven't got anything else, Mark. I've never been a singer.
So it's not back the boys and make the noise, back the girls and make some
noise. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll be there. I'll be there.
I've got nothing. Perhaps Dylan has, I don't know.
So look, Nat, so talking to Dylan, it's time to bring out in our other co-host. And tonight's special guest, it's Dylan Kerr. And Dylan, look, before we have a chat with you, just want to say commiserations. It's your first relegation as a head coach, but... you know, I think most of the Reading fans will agree with this. You've done a superb job in getting Marumo Gallants, firstly, all the way to the CAF Confederation Cup semi-finals. And look, you took over at the end of January. Marumo Gallants were bottom of the South African Premier Division table. They were on a run of 8 games without a win. You came in, you gave them a real chance of survival. They went on an unbeaten run of 8 games, but you had such a punishing schedule of games with all the travel and everything with the CAF Confederation Cup. And unfortunately, you were relegated at the weekend. So just my first question to you, Dylan, is, you know, how are you feeling at the moment?
Hello, guys. It's nice to be back. Nice to be back. But, you know, it's been 2 days now of, you know, going over and over in my head, what could I have done better? What could I have done different? Like you said just now, I've never experienced this in my life, in my career. I'm never a loser. I hate losing. And, you know, I've not absorbed it in yet. I don't think it's sunk in because I've not really slept, because I feel cheated, Mark. I feel let down, and I feel that they've let not only myself down, but they've let the chairman down, they've let us. Small community of fans down. They've also took away jobs for the young players in MDC, because that will not happen now. So there'll be no youth program next year. Coaches will lose their jobs. Fitness coaches will lose their jobs. Analysis guys will lose their jobs. You know, some ground staff will lose their jobs, and all for money. All because they wanted a bonus, which, as far as I know, you don't get a bonus if you're just in the semi-final. You know, you've got to get to the final and win the final before the chairman is even obliged to give you a bonus because unfortunately, in the contract, there's nothing that.
Yeah, Dylan, they went on strike, didn't they, the players?
Tuesday morning, I woke up and we went for breakfast, and the everybody, and this is what grates me, Mark. Everybody was adamant they weren't training. They were not going to train. And I said, the bus leaves at 12 o'clock. If you're on the bus, fine. If you're not on the bus, there's going to be a problem. Anyway, 12 o'clock, 12:15, 12:20, the players didn't arrive. So I went back to my room. And by this time, I'm livid. And my chairman was livid too. You know, he was being held hostage. Not only, you know, his club, but the prestige of representing your country in the Confederations Cup for the first time in the club's history, for the first time in South African, a small club like Marumo Gallants has got to the semi-finals of the Confederations Cup, which was like basically, no disrespect, it was like Slough Town, you know, getting to the League Cup final. You know, that's how massive it was for Marumo Gallants. And when we went to Egypt and played Pyramids, the players had agreed with the chairman, and the chairman agreed, yes, verbally, he was going to give them something. But they wanted it in writing. And it was Wednesday morning, the chairman arrived at training, at the camp, with the biggest game of their lives, because they're never going to get there again. None of them will get to the Confederations Cup again. You know, and they made the chairman sign a piece of paper that states they will get a percentage of the CAF money, which apparently is 14.5 million rand, which is 10 million rand is 2 4 about 5,500,000. I'll have to do my math. 2 million rand's 100,000. Yeah, so it's about £500,000. No, £600,000, right? Yeah. They wanted a percentage of it. Now, the chairman has said, and he said today, his outlay is between 12 and 18 million so far up into the semi-finals. So whatever percentage they're going to get, you know, it's small potatoes compared to what they could have got had they qualified for the final. It was 18 million. For the final, and I think 22.5 million to win the final. And I just said to them, Mark, you know, excuse the French, I said, you're going to fuck this up for everybody. You can't go into a semi-final, and if you lose, I've got to pick you up and I've got to get you ready for Saturday. And he was like, coach, don't worry, we're going to win. Coach, don't worry, we're not going to get relegated. And I was in shock. And I tried to repeat every day. Guys, this is your livelihood. This is your baby. You cannot kill your baby. You've got families to support. You've got children to support. You've got a life in football, which if you get relegated now, it's over. Maybe one or two will get a different club. Maybe one or two will move. But I can guarantee you there'll be 20 plus players looking for employment, and it's all down to them. And my question was to them: you were all fighting for a small bonus. Why wasn't you fighting to save your career? Where was that fight on that last day? It wasn't there, Mark. And it was the same team. We battered. We hammered Yanga. We hammered them. We hammered them, and we missed four glaring chances, as we did in the first leg, and they went and scored two counter-attacks. Game over. And it hurts, Mark. It really, really hurts.
Yeah, understandable. And I'll come to Johnny in a second, but Dylan, just really to kind of summarise your career as a head coach. So you've won seven trophies since 2014, two league titles, five cup competitions. You've taken over at four clubs previously in the South African Premier Division that were relegation threatened. You kept them all up. This is the first time out of five that hasn't happened. You're coming back to the UK this week. Where are you hoping to be a head coach next? And where do you think you might end up next season?
I don't know. I mean, look, I spoke to Parky at Wrexham, you know. It was amazing. You know, I found out, you know, the grapevine that, you know, Parky, a couple of days after he'd won promotion, you know, got a letter from King Charles. A personal written, handwritten letter from King Charles. So, you know, you just can't imagine how good I felt for Parky. And, you know, I've spoken to Parky, you know, we've always had a good relationship. You know, he's tried to get me in somewhere at his previous clubs, but it never happened. And I don't know where, you know, the setup at Wrexham is going to be now they got promoted. But I'm going to come home. I only spent 12 days last year back in the UK, and I had to sort out a lot of personal stuff that I wasn't previously able to do for 3 years because of COVID. So this time I'm going to come home, and I'm going to see a lot of people that I haven't seen in 3 years, 3.5 years. I'm going to go to Scotland, you know, because my house is in Scotland. I haven't seen that since 2016. And I'm going to have a little look, see if there's anything in the UK. Obviously, it's everybody who's out of work, you know, is fighting for that one position. But you know, I've not absorbed in what happened this weekend, and until we meet the chairman tomorrow or Wednesday, then I can move on to what I think is going to be better for me in the light. Mark, it's killed me how this happened this weekend. It's just blown me away. It really has. It's taken away the, I don't know what the word is. It's taken away the integrity, you know, of the game away on financial greed, you know, and I know the culture here is different, and I know that the more money they can get, the happier they can be, but to literally kill themselves and kill each other, that's the worst thing. The instigators, you know, they're the ones that, you know, have driven this, and others have followed, and everybody's just been basically blown up, and they've took away, you know, the one thing that they've got in life, and I guaranteed them next year we'll keep the same squad because we were brilliant.
Dylan, just before Johnny comes in, firstly, you're definitely not staying there, right? Is that right?
I'm coming home. I don't think this is going to help. You know, like I say, you know, I've always had this reputation, and you know, it's like I did not see us losing that game against Swallows. Swallows were the worst team ever to play against, but they win games by being that bad. You know, they've won four games on the bounce, and they were bottom of the league. We made them bottom of the league when I joined the club, but it just, when I take it all in, when it kicks me in the balls and it wakes me up to the realization of what has happened, you know, it's flabbergasted. I've just never experienced it. You know, I've experienced strikes. I've experienced players at Swallows last year not getting paid. 100%, they're not getting paid. Don't play. I've experienced things like even worse than that, but players have always, you know, gone out and I've got them to go out and do the job. This time I couldn't change their minds. They were adamant until the chairman put pen to paper and signed this document that said that they were going to get a percentage of that CAF money. They were not going to train no matter what I said. And that's the hardest thing to accept for me, because I failed my chairman. That's how personally I take it. I've got to accept that I failed the chairman because I couldn't get the players to see sense, to see reality.
Well, Dylan, just a suggestion, and then Johnny's going to come in. Come back to England, pay a visit to Reading, walk around the Oracle for a while, and spend quite a bit of time doing it so you get spotted, and then there'll be a story in the Reading Chronicle linking you with the Reading job because you've been spotted in the Oracle. Just a suggestion. Johnny, what do you think?
Different. I'm
haven't tried that, Dylan, I guess. You know, like, you know, we'll actually have exclusive footage on the podcast of Dylan walking around the Oracle.
What if I...
We go live now to the Oracle, and there is Dylan Kerr. Oh, get there. I can't believe that. Dylan, listen, honestly, mate, we're all hurting for you, like me, Mark, and all the Reading fans, because we know how much you care and how much passion you have for the game and what you do as a manager. And to be honest, you deserve so much better than how you're treated, and how, you know, you deserve a better opportunity to be able to build your own team, start from scratch, not coming in, keep trying to save, you know, every team that's struggling, which you do amazingly in this time circumstances that are out of your controls turned against you. But, you know, just you'll bounce back, mate, because you're a star.
Thank you, John. No, it's like I say, it's circumstances, you know. The people I've seen with in Durban when I got offered the job, they said I must be mad. But I spoke to my captain, I said, we're good enough to stay up. And he said, for this team, yes. And we had such a good run. We were unlucky. We missed chances that, you know, Stevie Wonder could have scored. I mean, Mark Roach could have scored.
Wouldn't go that far.
Yeah, better. But I never saw us losing, even 2-0 down in the CAF competition. I knew we'd pull it back. Yeah. But because they went on strike, their mentality is now different. Yeah. Now they've got nothing to fight for because they've got the bonus. If they lose in the semi-final, they're guaranteed 14.5 million and whatever percentage that they've earned. So whether they win or lose, yeah, doesn't matter.
Hunger's gone, isn't it?
And we missed three one-on-ones. Now, one was a good save, I would say. One, I don't know. You question, right? Are these players serious? Are they not serious? You know. I mean, people telling me, oh, four players have agreed pre-contract, so they're not bothered if the team stay up or not. How does that happen? You're still in the team. You're not playing for yourself. You're playing for the team that's paid you for 2 years or 3 years or a year. You know, and your contract's up. You want another contract in the PSL. You'd run through brick walls. I'm sat in the stand. I can't do anything because I'm not allowed on the bench. And again, that's my chairman. Why hasn't he done anything about that? Was he bothered? I don't know. You know, but I've got a good relationship with the chairman. I like the chairman, you know, and I just can't understand why, you know, they didn't look past their own selfishness to say, well, hang on, we're good enough to stay in this league. We're good enough to be in the PSL. Next year, as I promised them, we're not going to make changes. We're not going to do things different. We're going to do things better. You know, because, and the chairman was going to move the franchise to Bloemfontein, where that is probably one of the biggest supported areas. We haven't got a football team. Yeah. And it would have been absolutely out of this world. Now, they've got to go in the first division, which is more difficult than the Championship and League One to get out of, and nationwide. The Conference League, it's harder than that because you've got referees that get paid, you get, you know, officials that, you know, are corrupt. You know, you've got owners that will, you know, do everything they can to try and win the game. However it's done, they'll do it. And it's a cat and dog race in that NFD now. Yeah. They've gone from the Premier League, which is 2.5 million a month, which is 125,000 a month, to 500,000, which is 25,000 a month.
It's careful what they wish for, really, isn't it? Like, you want a bonus, but you lose that, then you're down. You're going to get less players.
Dylan, I've got a question for you about you and your potential next role. But first, what do you think that you don't get a look in, because people will say, well, look, he's managed in, you know, Africa and Asia, and yes, he's had success, but he's not had experience of managing in the UK or whatever. So therefore, that's a risk. What, you know, what's the reason? Why do you seem to have so many issues with not getting a look in over here, whether it's England, Scotland, wherever?
As Imre Varadi puts it, there's bigger and better out there. you know, that can't get jobs. And my answer to that is, but how many times have they been sacked? How many times have they been, you know, told that they're, you know, they're no longer required? And, you know, you're talking about John O'Shea, you know, Quinton Fortune, the former player that's now Chris Davis. You know, yes, being a manager and being an assistant manager and being a coach is a lot different, you know, because your responsibility as a coach is to coach the team. You haven't got the head coaches or managers pressures. You're not the one that's picking the team. You're not the one that's, you know, put your head on the block if results go well, if results go badly. You know, you're responsible as a coach or as an assistant coach or a youth team coach. It's totally different. Noel Hunt will probably tell you that, you know, when he took over the last couple of games for the season. You know, you've got to have, you know, I've worked in a culture of African players, and I've used my African mentality to get the best out of them. You know, and a lot of Premiership players in the world, in Europe, are all from Africa. Yet nobody considers African football, you know, that to be that good. But yet the amount of Africans that are playing now in Europe in the top leagues and the top teams is amazing. So if it's not that good, why do teams sign lots of African players?
So, Dylan, let's say a scenario, you are currently part of Reading's backroom staff, working with Mark Bowen, Brian Carey, etc. You're having a meeting, you're having a conversation about what type of Reading, what type of manager do Reading need next? What's your view? What type of manager do you think Reading need next?
Somebody that's not selfish, somebody that's got ambition, somebody that's got a plan, somebody that's got, you know, a way of making the youth push for places in the team. You know, because I said this previously, no senior player likes a youngster coming, looking over his shoulder at some young kid that's trying to break into the squad. You know, they will work hard to make sure that he doesn't, you know, replace him, because, you know, it's a risk. You know, you want to have this jigsaw puzzle that all the pieces fit nicely. You know, and if it doesn't fit, then you have to either take them out of the jigsaw, or you're trying to find a way that that piece fit. You know, and that's by, you know, talking to them, by being, you know, I wouldn't say a father, but being a mentor to them, and to give them ambition. I've had five clubs now, bottom of the league, relegation certainties, seasons finished, 10 games, 15 games, 12 games, and I've gone into that club and I've changed the whole ideology of how to play and to be winners and to enjoy the game and to come to training and go home happy, ready to come the next day. That's what I did as a player from at Leeds, Sheffield Wednesday, at Kilmarnock. You know, you couldn't keep me off the training ground, you know, because I didn't want to leave. And now players... we didn't have lunch rooms, we didn't have breakfast rooms, we didn't have, you know, spas and masseurs, and we just came into training.
You had the bar at Elm Park under the stadium, didn't you?
That was, by the way, I'll tell you what, I'd bring that back.
Reopen Utopia.
Yeah, Dylan, just want to ask you then, you know, the type of manager that Reading need. Do you see any specific examples out there? So if you know, if you're in charge of selecting the next Reading manager, what are some of the names that you would be looking at that you think were suitable? Well, obviously, there's plenty of Reading fans who think it's worth, like, bringing you in, whether it's manager, assistant manager, whatever it is. You've been mentioned a lot. But if you're making that decision, what are some of the specific examples of the type of manager that Reading need? Who do you look at and think, yeah, he'll be a good fit?
Well, I mean, you know, Brendan Rodgers would be, you know, ideal, because he knows the club and is out of work at the moment. And I don't know if he's going to get back into work. You know, I always admired, because I watched Gareth Ames Ainsworth a lot when he was at Wickham, and I thought he did well. And I'll give you, you know, when Man United replaced, I can't remember if it was David Moyes or Van Gaal, or Louis Van Gaal. Eddie Howe, for me, you know, was the one, you know, as a Man United fan, I wanted him to be given the opportunity, but maybe he wasn't a big enough name. But you see what he's done at Newcastle, you see what he did at Bournemouth, see what he's done at Newcastle. You know, you want that type of manager, that coach that's got respect, that's got ideas, that's got a vision, and that's got a bit of loyalty as well. You know, that, you know, you want to, if you're going to sign there for 3 years, you want to be there for 3 years. You want to make a, you want to build the club. You want to build, you know, the club, the structure, the stadium. It's all there. The training facilities is amazing. You know, you've got a good youth academy. You know, so build on that. And that's what Reading need, you know, to get out of this League One position, you know, because it's going to be tough again. It's going to be tough because there's some good teams in League One, you know. And if you look at this season's play,
Chris Wilder, for example.
Yeah, God, I've known Chris for years. I've known him since, you know, when I was at Sheffield Wednesday back in the '80s. You know, got a lot of respect for Chris. You know, what he did at Sheffield United was amazing. You know, and again, you know, he's another coach that's, you know, had success at Northampton, success at Bramall Lane, and then somewhere along the way, you know, his last few jobs have not really happened for him. You know, again, you know, you don't know the circumstances. I haven't spoken to Chris, you know, in a couple of years, to be fair. Although I do, you know, occasionally drop him a birthday message or a Merry Christmas. But yeah, I mean, again, you know, Chris Wilder's done it in League Two, and he's done it in the Championship. You know, that could be a good idea, you know, for Chris Wilder. But again, you know, it's got to be the perfect one. You can't be just one, oh yeah, well, he got promoted at Sheffield United. Sheffield United, a different club. Yeah, but he got promoted at Northampton. Yeah, Northampton is his start. And Reading Football Club is going to be different. You know, Chris Wilder will only, whoever's interviewed, they will have to look into the background of the club, especially in the last two, three seasons. You know what's been the problem? Where's the issues? What can I identify as, you know, the problems that Reading are in at the moment? Obviously, we know the financial fair play. We know about salaries, we know about, you know, transfer embargoes, you know, why, you know, and fix it and say, yeah, well, I can deal with that, I can fix that. I know the players that I need to bring at this club to get us out of this league. And, you know, that's, you know, like I said, you know, that's how I would do my interview. You know, tell them what I can bring to the club, what the club's already got, and how I can add to that.
Yeah, sorry, you were saying about playoff teams before. Sorry, I think we were talking over each other.
Yeah. I mean, I saw a tweet the other day. Somebody put in, we've got a, not these two clubs. You know, it's fantastic what Coventry have done. Fantastic Luton Town. You know, I mean, how many years have they been not in the Premier League? I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think that they have been in the Premier League, have they? You know, it's
haven't been in the top flight for a long time.
And Reading were up there. Reading were better than that, you know. But they say you've got a manager, players want to play for. You know, that's the thing that pisses me off here. These players played for me up until Tuesday. These players played for me, and I could have bet my house that we were not going to get relegated. But on Tuesday, that dimension changed. And Pauling's maybe lost the dressing room, you know, because he was very, very critical of his players. You can't be critical of your players when you're in season. You know, I'm never going to criticise my players for what they did for me. But what I'm going to criticise the players is what they did to me. You know, what they did for me and what they did to me is something I can never forget. We had a Player of the Year awards dinner last night that had been previously arranged, and it was fantastic from the gym. You know, to acknowledge what they've done. But everybody's happy, everybody's celebrating, everybody's, you know, and I'm dying inside. I'm sat there wanting to cry. I'm sat there furious and angry that you know, not only has it cost me my job, it's cost a lot of other people their jobs. And it's not as if they can walk into another club. It's not as if the youth, the under-18s, can walk into another club. You know, and there was six or seven good youth players that I would have brought into the team next year. And now that opportunity's gone for them. Where are they going to go? You know, so there's going to be at least 30 players, young and old, experienced and inexperienced, that are going to be going around, listening to agents, paying agents money to try and get them a job. And yeah, it's just honestly...
Johnny, back to you.
Sorry, Mark.
On a positive then, Dylan, I saw you caught up with Lucas Radebe at the awards. Is that right?
I wasn't. You know, I did the picture. That's probably okay. The only time I actually smiled, because I was the chief, you know, because Leeds have got to win on Saturday. And I know everybody respects Lucas and he's a massive idol. For the Leeds fans, yeah. And I said, "Come on, let's do a Leeds posture, and try and get, you know, a bit of morale to the team, yeah, that we support them." That's the only time I took a picture and smiled. If you look at the pictures, I haven't even got a grin. It hurt, and I've never been hurt before. Yeah. Well, yeah, I got hurt when I got married. And that fucking hurt me, but.
Football hurt. That's different. Or the manager hurt. You're hurt not playing in the playoff final. That was the players hurt. The manager's hurt. It's different.
If I picked the wrong team, if I picked the wrong lineup, if I made the wrong tactics, then yes. If I made the wrong substitutions, yes. Then I probably accept it more. But as I said to them on Tuesday, you know, you're playing with your futures here. You're playing with your careers. And is it worth it? Is it worth it? Because you want a signed document for a percentage of money. When if you get relegated, those who are still contracted, you've got a clause in your contract that if you go down, your salary goes down 50%. Those who are released don't get a penny. You know, and they're gonna be like the 50,000 emails and text messages and WhatsApps and tweets that I get from players who want to be a footballer. You're going to be added to that list, you know. And like I said, it's something that I've got to. It'll make me a bigger and a better person.
You'll bounce back from it, mate, because that's you. You've bounced back from so many things.
I'll learn not to trust, you know, footballers again that are greedy. You know, because that's basically, you know, what it is. You know, how, like I said, do you think Liverpool, Man United or Man City are going to get rewarded if they lose the final of the FA Cup?
Yeah.
You know, do you think whoever Man United played in the semi-finals, do you think that team got rewarded for losing the semi-final? Yeah. No, did they hell? But because the club are getting a lot of money, and it's the chairman's money. At the end of the day, it's the chairman's money. What the chairman does with that money is, and because they don't negotiate this before in the contracts. There's nothing in the contracts. This is kind of like they think that they're owed it because they got to the semi-final, because the club's earned 14 million. They don't think about the 12 to 18 million, yeah, that it's probably cost the chairman. You don't think about that. They just want part of that bonus, which 100% what they've done. You know, they do deserve something, but only if you win it.
As an incentive.
You know, incentive. Only if you win it.
Dylan, but for you, sorry, Mark, I just want to go quickly. We all love you to bits still, you know. We know you, but like, where do you want to go from here now? What do you see jobs going? Oh, that's one for me. At what level do you go? I'm not sure.
I I asked my agent to apply for Doncaster, but they gave it back to Grant McCann, who was previously sacked by Doncaster and sacked by Peterborough.
Do you have a level that you think you...
So they give it the...
Go one, do you go Championship, or do you just go, give me a chance?
Look, it's wherever it would be. I mean, you know, you're looking at the Conference League, you're looking at, you know, Nationwide North. You know, you're looking at that, you know, getting that footing. I applied for York City last year. I applied for Gateshead a few years back. I applied for Dundee before the guys just left. I applied for that, knowing Gordon Strachan. You know, Gordon says, you know, Lee Boyer, whatever his name is. I applied for Dundee United when they sacked their manager. I've applied at Kilmarnock 3 times. I've applied at Reading 3 times. You don't get a reply, which is fine. You know, at the end of the day, in this day and age, you don't get replies. Agents are the ones that you need. You know, and like I said, Imre Varadi is a very, very good friend of mine, and he's got one of the biggest agencies in the world. You know, but if he says to me, there's bigger and better out there, then what chance have I got? Now, being out of England or being out of the UK, maybe that is an hindrance. But coming back, you know, you're not guaranteed anything. You're not, you know, there's nothing that says, right, Dylan Kerr, because you had the success in Africa and Asia, you know, you're going to have the success in the UK. But I know with the background I've got, with the people that I know, with the influence I have as a player and as a coach, just to sit down with a board member or a chairman or a CEO and explain, you know, who I am, what I'm about. I used to have an unblemished CV. Now I've got a dark spot on it that outweighs all the good spots. I don't see all the good spots now. I see that one blemish, you know, which I'm not proud to have. And again, as I said, Johnny, I'm the head coach responsibility, but I wasn't the one that, you know, threw it away. I wasn't the one that threw it away. I didn't change anything. You know, everybody, coach, don't worry, we're not going to go down. Don't worry. Guys, football doesn't work like that. Football works on honesty. Football works on trust. I can't trust you.
Yeah.
How can I trust you? I'm going to pick 11.
Dylan, I just want to... Dylan, I just want to come back to you about Reading again, because we don't... Obviously, you're coming back to the UK this week, more than likely. We've got a few episodes left for Series 2, so... we don't know for 100% if you're on any of the other episodes. Hopefully you will be. But in case we don't talk to you again, I just want to ask you about League One next season. Reading obviously going into the third tier for the first time since the 2001-2002 season, that Jamie Cureton goal at the end of the season. When you look at the clubs that went down the previous season, the clubs that have gone down this season, who might be in the running in League One for promotion? How do you think Reading will get on? Which other clubs do you think will do well? Because you've got Derby in there, you've got Portsmouth, you know, you've got the relegated clubs, you've got Bolton in there as well. How do you think Reading will do next season? What does that depend on? And which of the other clubs do you see challenging for promotion?
You just said them all. I mean, you know, there's a frightening amount of clubs in that league, and football's getting everybody's equal now. There's not really, you know, like back in the day when we were playing, you knew there was always the top 3-4 teams that were always going to be in contention. But now everybody's on an equal footing now. You know, Derby County, look at the size of that club, Portsmouth, Bolton Wanderers. They can't get out of that. Bolton Wanderers failed again. Derby County missed. So did Portsmouth. So did Peterborough. You know, not Peterborough, sorry. Who else is there? There's so many. Yeah, it was Peterborough, wasn't it? Yeah. Sheffield Wednesday. Peterborough. Burton Albion. Burton Albion have got a good history. You know, and there's clubs that's been promoted from League Two. Northampton Town are promoted again. So there's not that there's not that team that say, right, hang on, Reading have come down. Are Reading good enough to go back because of the situation that they got relegated in? You know, it was entirely in their hands. It was entirely in Paul Ince's hands to save that club. And he could have done it. You know, but why it didn't work for him? You know, only he will know, and certain players will know. You know, so next year they've got to hit the ground running. They've got to have a very, very good pre-season. You know, and remember when I spoke about my first the first day I knew that Reading were going to do well that year was when we, you know, had a really, really hard pre-season, and then we all went to the White Swan in Pangbourne, and basically that's when we all came together, and that's when I thought, yes, this is going to happen. And that's what they're going to have to do now. They're going to have to identify the right players to come into that club that can work. That's the first thing. Yeah. Work. Play football. Win the ball. When they haven't got the ball, go get it back. You know, anybody can play football, but if you haven't got them three things, if you haven't got them three things in your locker, then you're not gonna get nowhere near promotion.
And show them what Sheffield Wednesday did in the semi-finals against Peterborough.
Well, I heard there were 60-1, and I phoned my friend, well, my agent actually, Paul Mitchell, and I said to Paul, "No, put a tenner on Sheffield Wednesday's tonight. They're 60-1." And he went, and because he lives in Peterborough now, and he goes and watches Peterborough, he said to me, "No chance. Peterborough might get a draw. You know, Peterborough will not lose." So when I woke up the next morning, because the load shed, you know, I checked my phone and saw that they'd won 5-1. By the way, I didn't say any nasty words to him. I went absolutely mental at him.
Listen, Johnny.
When I listened to Darren Moore, and when I listened to some of the players and saw the grief in Barry Bannon's face at the final whistle, I actually thought, yeah, you know, with that Hillsborough crowd behind him, get a goal early, get two goals, yeah, it's game on. I'm just gutted that I wasn't able to watch it because of load shedding, you know. So, but again, the next day I told my players, the previous day I said to my players, "You're 2-0 down, you go out." Within 10 minutes, we had three golden chances to score. We missed one from, you know, one. Like I said, Stevie Wonder could have scored. You've got, for Reading now, guys, it's now doing the homework on the right man to come into that training ground and bring the right people in, because the money is massively reduced, you know, so they can't go out and spend hundreds of thousands or millions on players. They can't offer top wages because obviously season tickets prices are going to go up. Some Reading fans have fell out with the football club, with how the football club's been run and what happened to them getting relegated. So they're going to have to go out and like Mark McGee and Colin Lee did all those years ago, they're going to have to go and scout players that are going to bring something to the blue and white hoops.
Johnny, have you got one last question for Dylan before we wrap up?
Yeah, Dylan, would you fancy ever coming over and coaching in the League of Ireland? Something a bit different than the UK.
I've tried a couple of teams in Ireland. Like I said, somebody asked me if I'd like to go to Northern Ireland.
No,
I said,
come to the Southern Ireland, mate. I'll buy your point in the game, Cole.
That's dangerous, but I love Belfast. Belfast is amazing. I've got some very, very good contacts in football. Nicky Hammond, you know, I've asked Nicky a few times and there's nothing happened there. I've tried America, I've tried Asia, I've tried, you know, I've been linked to a possible move in Egypt. Whether that's true or not, I don't know.
Australia?
Andy Bernal, he's even said that he would try, even Jeff Hopkins, but nothing's come there. A club in Kenya asked me the other day, who actually are based in Mombasa, which is paradise. You know, they asked me if I'd go back to Kenya, and I said no. And no disrespect to the club, I just don't want to go back to Kenya and spoil what I did, you know, at Gor Mahia. So maybe maybe a couple of jobs will come up in Scotland. Who knows? Who knows? And I'll keep applying, you know. And I've always had the ambition that one day I will be head coach at Old Trafford. I'm never going to stop. I'm never going to stop believing that or dreaming that might happen. Because if I do, then I'll just walk away from football and probably, you know, be an Uber driver.
Dylan, I got.
I'll reopen you.
Go on. What were you going to say?
Oh, God. Utopia.
Yeah. I got one last question.
But Zimmer. You're coming with Zimmer frames, though, in Utopia.
Yeah. In a week for us too.
Yeah. Now, one last question for you. When I asked you who you thought would make a good manager for Reading, the first name you mentioned was Brendan Rodgers. Do you think Brendan would be have any interest in coming back to Reading, genuinely?
Probably not. Possibly not. I don't see how he wouldn't, you know. I think if he came to Reading and did a great job and got him promoted, I think that'd be better than him sitting in his house, you know, by the phone, you know, or looking, maybe possibly he may have offers abroad. You know, I don't think Graham Potter, Graham Potter doesn't need the money, but I don't think Graham Potter would be a possibility. I'm told the Swansea manager is going to
Southampton.
I can't remember where he's going now.
Southampton.
So the Swansea manager is going to leave a championship team to go to a championship team. You know, whether that's a good move, I don't know. My friend Mark Jackson has just been fired at MK Dons, you know, and I spoke to Mark last week. He was heartbroken and he tried to call me last night. And I said, Mark, I can't talk right now because I wouldn't know what to say. Know what to say. So, look, there's people, you know, out of work. There's, you know, strangely as it may, Leeds United get relegated. You know, Sam Allardyce might be, you know, popping up at Elm Park. Sorry, Medeski. He might be considered. You know, I look at the list. I look at the odds. I'm not even on them. I'm not even on interested in being linked to the football club. What I like about it is the fans, you know, have been very, very kind and very, very, you know, supportive. That's what you need. You need the fans on your side. You need the fans to come in and say, hang on, this coach is going to do it for us. We're going to come and support the club. We're going to turn the game around on the field and we're going to get more people coming back. You know, and that you can only do that, you know, if you've got the right mentality and you've got the right plan and pathway to follow. So, right, yeah, there we go. We need to be in the top two by Christmas.
And one last question. I want to ask you about Graham Murty because he's been linked with the Reading job. Do you think he's the type of manager that Reading should be looking
at? Well, again, you know, Mertz is, you know, he's like me, former Reading player. I'm just going to have to move this because my battery's just about to turn off. Graham Mertz is former captain, you know, Reading legend, Reading icon. You know, whether or not, you know, obviously he would do what I do. He'd probably run down from wherever he is to go and manage Reading. I've got a lot further to go than he has, but again, you know, it's got to be the right choice. I can't get the job because I'm in the Hall of Fame, because I'm a former Reading player, because I'm a successful coach abroad. I've got to get the job because I'm the right manager for it. I'm the right coach, and Graham Murty's got to be the same. Remember, Graham's always worked with youth. You know, at Glasgow Rangers, he was head of the academy. Where is he now?
England, under 21s.
Yeah.
So now he's got under 21s. So, you know, is that step up? Is he ready for that step up? Would Noel Hunt have got the job if he'd have kept them in the Premier League, in the Championship? Would they have given him the opportunity? You know, so what Parker did at Wrexham was just, you know, like Man City doing in the Premier League. You know, they've got the funds, they've got the financial backing, they've got the hype, the media attention. And Parker's had to go through all that, knowing that he's got all that. And he still had to fight Notts County, Chesterfield, Bromley. And the in the second term of asking, he's gotten promoted. You know, and then, you know, is he going to be wanting to be taken away from Wrexham to come to Reading? You know, like I say, you've got to have the perfect fit from, you know, the whole backroom team.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't had my own backroom team in Africa. I've always had to take what the chairman's given me. You know, that doesn't work. You know, but I have to trust them and I have to believe in them, which I do. And sometimes it costs me. Because the knives are always out because they think you're a better coach than you and they want your job. You've got to make sure whoever comes into Reading Football Club, whether it's Graham Murty, whether it's this Chris Guy, whether it's Brendan Rodgers, Brian McDermott, you know, would have been ideal. You know, it always, maybe sometimes it's a bad thing to come back to the club once you've been there and had the success. You don't want to, like I said to Johnny there, I don't want to go back to Gomaya to Kenya where I had success with Gomaya, because then if it doesn't be successful, then, you know, it looks bad on me. So you've got to have the right person, the right makeup that fits into Reading Football Club, fits into 1871 FC. Yeah. That's it. And then it becomes a Royal.
Well, don't forget, I come back to Reading, walk around the Oracle for a while, and then we'll see what happens. But look, Dylan, we wish you well. We hope we can get you back on before Series 2 finishes. But just a reminder that tomorrow our special guest is former Reading winger Glenn Little. So that episode is available anytime from 8:45 p.m. tomorrow. And then on Wednesday evening, our guest is the former Reading goalkeeper Steve Mortone. And that episode is available anytime from 6 p.m. on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, our guest is the former Reading midfielder and the current Slough Town manager Scott Davies. And that episode is available anytime from 6 p.m. on Thursday. So all that leaves me to say is thank you, Johnny, and thank you to Dylan. And we wish you all the very best with whatever comes next, Dylan. Sports Social Podcast Network.